Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is, crap, what is it? February the 18th.
Yes, really? It is.
Garrett here.
Oh, wow, it is.
Brad and Wade.
All day long.
All day long. I don't pay attention. It was like my Monday at work today, so I don't know what the heck was going on at all.
Haha, my Friday.
It's Wade's Friday.
It is my Wednesday.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah, it does.
Especially with a day like today.
I know. It has been quite the day.
Do you want to tell the people about your day?
No.
I'd rather not relive it?
I'd rather not relive it. I'm going to need years of therapy.
No, or just one drunken night.
He is thinking about taking a red eye tonight, so I mean...
No, that's off.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that whole thing's off.
Interesting.
So, no, short version is I had... the job that I'm on this week was supposed to be a gravy train job. Come in, pop the equipment in, everything's great, walk out. This has got to be one of the most difficult customers I've worked with.
And that's saying something.
That's saying something. In 10 years. yeah, this ranks up there, that's for sure. And seriously, it's 5 pieces of equipment. Come on. This is not that difficult.
So... from an original scheduling standpoint, we were talking, what, 3-4 hours max?
And
that's with all the pleasantries?
I don't remember what the actual schedule time was.
But, I mean, based on the equipment that you're going to go.
Yeah, I know it's buffered. I want to say it's probably 8 or 9 hours buffered.
Okay, but in actual work, you're thinking...
Oh.
3-4 hours with the pleasantries?
4 would be the low side with pleasantries. High okay. side, just straight work.
Okay.
And now we are entering day 3.
Are you going? You have to go back tomorrow?
Yes.
Ouch.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not done.
Holy crap.
Why am I getting like a mental image of just a guy in a suit just like, put it over there. No, maybe it'll look better over there.
No, so you're actually assuming the customer's involved.
Yeah, no. Part of the problem was it takes us hours just to get the customer to acknowledge that, you know, hey, we need answers.
Have you talked to your supervisor? Because I know that on occasion we've billed customers for their time when they're not around to help us out.
Not yet.
Yeah.
He only just got back from vacation today. So.
He was in the office today.
Oh, was he?
He was.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. Anyway.
So this has been abundance of work issues.
You should. Abundance of... This is ties into the personal stuff, which we do every week at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you have an alcohol serving license. That's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that happened throughout the week. You're just complaining about one day.
Not 2 days.
Let me tell you about the rest of the time.
Please, let's get going.
Weekend was actually pretty good. You know, fairly laid back. Not a whole lot going on. Valentine's Day, we went out Friday night and had dinner. And then my wife went out with one of her girlfriends, on Saturday. But, yeah, it was actually kind of a quiet weekend for us.
Nice. Now, I want to tack back on to your miserable day and yesterday. For our viewers, the terrible misery of it is that Brad now is only about 3 hours away from us.
Yep.
This very moment, it's about a 3-hour drive up the 5 freeway, and the hope was to have all three of us be able to finally record in the same room.
We've been planning for a couple years now.
We've been trying, and, you know, I've been out to Indiana, and we kind of changed it up that way, but we haven't been able to have all of us in the same room to record. This week, we're thinking, oh man, he's only a few hours away, he can maybe get his work done early, cruise down, you know, we do this like we know what we're doing. Yeah, no.
Get done, take a sick day, get your butt over here.
Yeah.
Well, it's too late now.
Sick day, yeah.
Could've. Sick day.
What's take a sick day? Week, I don't... You're like, look, after this...
But still just... charge the company to travel? Yeah, nice. Good luck with that.
What's that?
Well, the company pays for him to travel. He can't take a sick week and travel on the company dime.
Unless I get sick once I'm here.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right, guys, let's make that happen.
Let's not.
I hear
let's,
this is new, let's not. I hear this is new super bug in an L.A. hospital we can work with.
Here, catch this.
Swine flu part two.
We'll send a package.
How was your guys' weekend?
Weekend was good. We touched base last week. My daughter's birthday was Thursday.
Yes, it was.
And we ended up watching a friend of ours, two girls that get along with my daughter. So instead of going out or anything for her birthday, she had friends over Thursday. So she had a good time that way. And for her birthday, she decided she wanted to go to one of those indoor trampoline places with the same girls plus another. So Saturday we did that. They had a good time. We did it for a couple hours. And they got good and tired, which is kind of the idea. I was tempted to join them once or twice.
You were chaperoning for...
All respective adult parties were involved.
I was there. Another...
The girl's dad was there. Another girl, her grandma, was there. So,
thank goodness. That sounds like it would have been tiring.
The adults had their little group, and the kids had their little group, so it kind of worked out.
Yeah,
good.
And we went and saw Jupiter Ascending on Sunday, so we'll talk about that here shortly. Monday was a holiday for us, to which housework was done. Grace, with my daughter, with her Girl Scouts, had a Girl Scout booth sale where she sits in front of a store and sells cookies. Ugh.
Your favorite part.
Such a supportive father.
Hey, I took her, right? And I sat in my truck and I watched videos on my phone for most of that time.
And laughed. Oh, sorry.
And then yesterday I took a day off
work. Pointed and laughed.
And laughed. Ha 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 ha. And yesterday I took the day off and lounged. So that's my weekend. Wade?
Pretty cut and dry. I mean, most of the stuff I did on the weekend. Garrett just told you.
Cool.
So, plus working.
Plus working. So, yeah, I guess we're going to go into kind of getting dry.
Alrighty then.
So with that, I guess we'll jump into movies.
Movies!
Movies! Movie we have a fair bit going on here. With movies coming out this week, we have Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I myself did not see Hot Tub Time Machine 1. And based on this very in-depth synopsis, I probably won't see this one either. The synopsis is simply, it takes takes place 10 years after the first one.
Wish I could find a Hot Tub Time Machine and stop these movies from happening.
No kidding.
This is rated R with no critic rating, probably for
a good
reason.
That's the plot of Hot Tub Time Machine 3. Shh.
Fault is I probably just gave him that.
Number two coming out is The Duff. This is rated 89%, rated PG-13. Bianca, a content high school student senior, whose world is shattered when she learns the student body knows her as, quote, The Duff, which stands for Designated Ugly Fat Friend. That is hurtful.
That's kidding.
To her prettier, more popular friends. Continuation from the previous sentence, obviously. Now, despite the word of caution from her favorite teacher, she puts aside the potential distraction on her crush, Toby, and enlists Wesley, a slick but charming jock, to help her reinvent herself. To save her senior year from turning into total disaster, Bianca must find the confidence to overthrow the school's ruthless label maker, Madison, and remind everyone that no matter what people look or act like, we are all someone's duff.
Okay, then.
Yeah. The only big name, or at least name that we recognize, is that the main guy in this is also in the TV show The Flash, which he kind of played a hit and miss intermittent role. So, yeah, if you're a fan of The Flash, you might have a recognize the face. If you plan on going to see that. Again, that's rated 89%, so critics like that.
I'll stick to The Flash, thanks.
I agree. Number three out of, looks like five here. This is McFarland USA, rated at 67%. This is a viewer rating of PG, starring Kevin Costner. It is a true against all odds story of the 1987 McFarland High School cross country team in an economically challenged community.
Sounds like they could use the Flash.
That would probably help them out, although maybe slightly embarrassing.
Does gene manipulation, even though not done by your head yourself, done directly, referred to as doping in the
accidental gene manipulation? It was an accident, I swear.
It's a particle accelerator and I got struck by lightning.
That's right. Number four, this is Wild Tales, 90%, rated R. Inequality, injustice, and the demands of the world we live in cause stress and depression for many people. Duh. Some of them, however, explode. Duh. This is a movie about those people. Well, fantastic. Vulnerable in the face of a reality that shifts and suddenly turns unpredictable. Isn't that kind of reality anyway? The characters of Wild Takes cross the thin line that divides civilization and barbarism. A lover's betrayal, a return to the repressed past, and the violence woven into everyday encounters drive the characters to madness as they cede to the undeniable pleasure of losing control. Okay. I don't really know what any of that means, actually.
They go insane. It's like a crash scenario, isn't it? So they focus on four different people, and it's so disjointed you can't follow anything?
Probably the case. This does appear to be a foreign movie based on the actors, actresses all have, which it either could be Spanish or perhaps Latin names. So essentially the world is chaos, and people give in to... anarchy, so to speak. Stuff. I suppose. Lastly is Digging Up the Morrow, 83%. This is unrated. This is a documentary based on what if all the monsters that we think or can imagine actually exist in some underground, grotesque creature world. So one man kind of follows the guise of this believer and this, maybe the monsters that we all think are all imagination or just some sort of repressed memories, and these creatures do exist. So it could be interesting.
That actually kind of does sound interesting to me.
Kind of a ghost hunters meets mythical monsters.
Yeah, I have to do a little more digging into it because I don't want to just be like, oh yeah, just...
83%, so those who did review it did like it.
Well, not just, like, I'm more of, how do I say this? I don't want to watch a movie where it's, okay, we're watching this guy and he seems kind of crazy. Is he believes that they're all there? Or is like, okay, what was that in the corner?
Well, pull up some reviews and see if you, see if it tickles your fancy.
I might have to.
So in the box office this week, we have, although the critics didn't like it and most people who see it agree, 50 Shades of Grey pulls in $85.2 million.
Thank you, ladies, for making a terrible book and a terrible movie very successful. Thanks.
How do you know the book's terrible?
Busted! And how do you know it was ladies? You were there!
Bum, bum, bum!
Because most people were complaining that their women wanted to go see it for Valentine's Day. And... Everyone else was just complaining that, well, the book was porn, and this BDSM is what they refer to in the movie and book in the people who have actually indulged in that kind of play say this really isn't BDSM and people are going to get injured and in trouble doing this.
Getting the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it pulled in $85 million. Number two is The Kingsman. The Secret Service pulled in $36.2 million, followed by The SpongeBob Movie at $31.5 million, and American Sniper at $16.4 million. Okay, that takes care of that. We did mention we saw Jupiter Ascending. Wade, thoughts?
very cut and dry story, but the visuals were amazing. I particularly liked the gothic kind of orientation of the ships.
Yeah, they had very, I mean, you had some that were very utilitarian, very Millennium Falcon-ish, you know, very industrial, very whatever. Then you had some that were real gilded. They had, like, statues on them. Yes, and
the ornate, like, yeah. Like, the class ships that the, what is this, the higher people,
yeah,
you know, traveled the stars in. So. Yep.
And yeah, I'd agree with that completely. The story was very straightforward. They explained to you pretty well of what they were trying to tell you, what the movie was about. There wasn't a lot of depth to it, though. So if you were looking for, you know, some movies leave you kind of scratching your head going, geez, I want more. Tell me more about this. You didn't really get that from this movie.
It was a good slice. I mean, it's just like it filled what you wanted out of the movie. And it was, I mean, it was kind of, well, not kind of, it was really following just a formula. It was, you know, oh, look, suddenly you're, how do I, again, say this as being vague without giving up the thing. But I think I'm just going to drop it there. You're going to go to one person. They're going to tell you about how the thing works and how the big baddie is. You're going to go to a next person. You're going to fill a little bit more in on the big baddie. Then you're going to go and deal with the big baddie. That's pretty much the basic story.
Yeah, I mean, build up and a little bit of layers, but the layers were real thin. But I mean, visually, it's stunning. And if you're into the sci-fi thing, not bad for what it is. Let's say that.
It's, yeah, very... I mean, you go in there, you're not going to be confused about what's going on. Yeah.
You won't be disappointed in watching it, but you won't come out of there blown away.
But it's okay. It's a cut and dry story, but it's still done entertainingly.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't even sure is a word.
Entertainingly. Probably not. But it sounded good. Run with it.
It's a word now?
Sure.
Woohoo!
You used it.
Used it. It's on record. And it needs no definition.
To be entertaining, I guess.
For more entertainment, we're going to jump over to the news.
Well, I don't know if I would call this entertainment so much as weird.
Weird can be entertaining.
That's true. So we covered, I think we covered... the FCC's decision to push forward with net neutrality rules. And this is the concept we talked about a couple months ago, where the ISPs carrying the data shouldn't get a say in what's important and what's not. And the reason why this is important is for certain classes of data traffic, such as ours. You know, you're buying your internet service from Cox Communication, who also does TV, which is a form of entertainment. So do you want them, you know, slowing our content down because we compete with them? They have that ability. They control the pipes. So the net neutrality rules are essentially that the carriers will not have a easy say in what goes first and what's priority. They have to treat all data unbiasedly. Does that make sense?
Woo-hoo. Yes, it does.
Okay, so the FCC has proposed, and it's in final review now, that they are going to reclassify the internet service providers as Title II communications companies, which essentially means that they have a lot more authority. The FCC has a lot more authority to regulate them and control what they do. The ISPs don't like this.
Of course not.
Of course not. I mean, who wants more regulation? But, you know, guys, if you hadn't tried to screw your customers over, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Comcast. Sorry.
So, AT&T has come out and said that if the FCC goes ahead and pursues this Title II reclassification, they plan to sue them.
Why? Based on what grounds?
We
don't like that you slapped us in the hand, so we're suing you.
We don't like that you're punishing us for something that we did.
We don't like being held accountable for stuff, so we're just going to sue you. So
if you could not, that'd be great.
Apparently, the possible litigation, they're likely going to move for it to be a class action lawsuit with all the other ISPs.
Of course they are.
Mm-hmm. And they want to prevent themselves from being reclassified.
But again, like, what legal grounds do they have to sue for that? I mean...
Because you're mean
to me.
Meanie head.
You're not giving me what I want. I want another scoop of ice cream.
I'm not sure what grounds they have. I'm not sure if it's even valid. It was a lawsuit that started this whole thing. The FCC had what was generally considered fairly reasonable net neutrality rules without them being regulated. And Verizon sued them and said they didn't have the authority to do that, and won. But in the original decision, the judge said, while the FCC does not have this authority, they do have the authority to reclassify and take the authority.
So,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That's brilliant.
They don't have it yet.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, hey, FCC, if you just kind of tell these people that they're something other than what they are, then you can do whatever you want.
You do not have this authority yet, but...
Fill out this form, submit it by mail.
Exactly. In triplicate, signed, buried, dug up.
Notarized.
30-day waiting period.
That's right. That was a little Hitchhiker's Guide reference there. Anyway, so I'm sure we will be seeing more lawsuits about this. The rules aren't even final yet. And their implementation may be delayed by this lawsuit, depending on how that goes. They may seek an injunction to bar implementation pending, a ruling.
Interesting. Well, hopefully it works out for us, the consumers, and the rich can stop getting richer.
You know, I let the data be free. It wants to be free.
No, we want it to be free. The data has no opinions on the matter.
Okay, but that's the thing. And to clarify terms here, by free, I mean unrestricted, not unpaid for.
What are we, like Greenpeace for data? What the heck?
Exactly. Yes.
That's awesome.
Well, PETA, start posting pictures of me. Never mind.
Yeah, please don't.
Free the data. Free the data.
So, talking about proposed rules and regulations, from the FCC to the FAA, these proposed regulations could add some serious complications to Amazon's potential drone package delivery system.
But remember this? Other than people not trying to shoot them down to get free prizes?
Correct.
Other than this.
So the U.S. Aviation Regulation proposed rules Sunday for commercial drone flight. Regulations would lift some limitations, but still bar delivery of packages and inspection of pipeline, which are two of the most sought after avenues for commercial drone flight. The draft rules from the FAA would require unmanned aircraft to obtain a special pilot certificate. These are obviously the pilots of the unmanned aircraft. To get a pilot certificate, which would mean they'd have to stay away from bystanders, fly only during the day, limit their speed to a mere 100 miles per hour, and not exceed 500 feet of flight. Elevation.
Altitude.
And that is from ground, obviously, not from sea level. The rules also say that the pilot must retain line of sight of the drone at all times, which therefore limit the inspection of pipelines, crops, electrical towers, and some of the other more sought-after commercial uses. The FAA acknowledges the limitation, but said that flights could be made possible with secondary spotter working with the pilot of the drone. The draft rules also have been 10 years in the making, but still must undergo public comment and revisions before becoming final. This process is expected to take at least a year to be finalized. If the rules survive that process, clearly Amazon's drone delivery would be a thing of the past in the United States. Amazon did say that they do plan to roll out drone deliveries where they have regulation and regulation support, which again means not here. Which is interesting. I mean, like Wade said, not only do you have the potential for the drones to be compromised by outside personnel, but I wonder what this does to the job market. How many delivery people... I mean, obviously, Amazon's only one delivery whatever. You know, it's not like UPS is going to go out of business as Amazon stops using them, but...
No, but it has a knock-on effect.
Yeah, there's got to be some repercussions if an entire shipper like Amazon, who does a ridiculous amount of business every year, now no longer needs the services of UPS, FedEx, USPS.
I see this as they probably still would require those things for the bigger, bulkier, heavier packages. Why, when you could, like, say, order a video game, that could probably be moved through... you know, depending regulation, by a drone. But when you're, like I said, I got my computer from Amazon.
Yep.
I would find it severely annoying if the drone decided to no longer work at a particular point and drop my $800 computer somewhere, even in a river or on hard ground.
That's another factor. I mean, at what point is it the customer's property? Now, when you buy a car or whatever, it's when the customer takes delivery of it. You know, if a drone is compromised somewhere in transit, that would fall on Amazon, just like if a package got lost in shipping. But is it worth it to Amazon to potentially lose out on a multi-$1,000 drone if it malfunctions or somebody compromises it or whatever? So there's that aspect. When I was researching some stuff for building my own drone, which I'm in process, I was informed that the only two autonomous flight modes that you can have is a hover mode and a return to home, a return to takeoff point. It is technically possible to, with GPS units, to pre-program waypoints and mapped flight so you don't have to physically control the drone. But I've been told that violates some legalities because now it's an autonomous flying machine instead of just an unmanned aircraft.
Why do I
aircraft.
See that being like military usage?
And it probably is.
You know, it's like,
fly to these coordinates. I don't need to control you the entire way there.
It's, you know, it's a guy sitting basically the kind of the setup that you were sitting in front of right now. Mm-hmm. Multiple drones on patrol, told to do a grid pattern or whatever. And he's, you know, watching, three, five different screen feeds. And he's, you know, guarding a base.
Yep. So, but I mean, just that factor too, I would see causes a complication to Amazon because they can't just program launch from the takeoff spot, deliver to this address, and then return. They've got to actually have someone controlling it based on these regulations and other autonomous flight regulations as well.
I like the requirement for line of sight. I know that's going to irritate some people, but... you know, and even as they proposed, you can work around it by having spotters.
Correct.
So it's not like you're limited to the line of sight of the pilot.
Correct.
You know, you can work together as a team and severely or significantly increase your range. But I think I think I like that, having that, you know, somebody responsible for this
Yes.
For this aircraft has to be in sight of it. You know, keep an eye on it. Because, I mean, let's face it. These things are small enough to get where they shouldn't be and big enough to cause significant damage.
There are videos online where drones, whether falling out of the sky or malfunctioning, have injured people. I mean, these rotors spin pretty quick. These big ones have some pretty solid rotors on them that are very finely tuned. People sand them down to make sure that they're balanced, which could cause edges. Again, with the speed of rotation, I mean, they break skin. They can cause somebody some serious harm without, like you said, someone around that's responsible for the drone and therefore any resulting aftermath could be catastrophic. Wade's a little sleepy tonight.
Sorry, yeah, there's actually something I did want to talk about there, is that another one of those regulations was that you can do it near pedestrians or correct. People.
Yep.
And you remember back when we were at 4th of July last year, someone did have a drone and, camera linked device.
Yep. Now, this is a commercial pilot, so that's a stipulation for that. Commercial pilot license for unmanned. Hobbyists do not need any sort of special equipment, depending on its size. The only caveat is if your drone has a camera on it, and you do record and you post that footage, especially if you're trying to monetize that footage, you could then run into issues without getting people's consent or whatever. So you're not supposed to, even if you're at a public place, you're not supposed to film people without their consent, especially if you are posting it publicly. But yes, I do. Yeah.
And yeah, I did want to point that out. You know, hobbyists, this doesn't apply to hobbyists.
Correct.
You know, you and I can fly, you know, whatever, we can let it go out of sight, we can fly over top of people, which commercial cannot do. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, exactly.
Still doesn't make it a good idea.
We still have had plenty of stories where it's someone has flown one of their drones a bit too close to an airport.
Yes.
So, just because you can.
Don't do that.
Yep, let's be a little smart. Now, I have also seen stories online about people who have been flying, or want to fly their drones in the park, maybe within a certain limitation of the airport. And you can actually contact the airport and say, hey, is this okay? Do I have any issue here? And I've seen different reports where the airports and the control towers, A, don't care, or have been more than amicable in discussions and making sure that, you know, everyone is safe in the actions. So, you know, if you have a question, consult the nearest authority, whether that's the control tower, the airport, whatever, to make sure that you don't get yourself into trouble.
Your mileage may vary.
Not all outcomes are the same.
Well, continuing on from...
Winter is coming. Sorry, go ahead.
Continuing on from cameras, and I guarantee this will make sense once I get into it. Blizzard released their patch notes for World of Warcraft. This will be the first major patch of since the expansion Warlords of Draenor. Comes with garrison quests, garrison updates, garrison world bosses, races in the Dark Moon Fair, which is kind of a little entertainment attraction thing in the game. And the one that kind of makes a lot of people scratch their head is they are now introducing Twitter integration into World of Warcraft. This along comes with a camera to shoot pictures and basically a selfie tool.
So like screenshots of the game or camera for the player?
This will take screenshots of the game. So, and you will have the ability to somewhat edit. Now it's not, you know, apply filter and stuff like that. You can crop the image in game, but I mean, this is, and along with this is, you can also post that you got a particular item or you achieved a particular achievement. And where it leaves me scratching the head is why? WoW doesn't need this. You know, do people really want to see on their Twitter feeds someone who's been playing WoW got an achievement?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Have you seen Twitter? You have a very particular fetish, if that's one of the things.
So, if you build it, they will come, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And people have been saying that, you know, well, it's not a required feature if you don't want to use it. Don't. But another argument to that is, what Reese's or the Reese's?
Reese's peanut butter cups. Reese's pieces.
What I'm resources hungry. Are did they take away to put this in when, I'm sorry, but in my opinion, a lot of things could be changed in Garrison and the major game in general where resources would be better spent.
I mean, it's a good point. I mean, of all the things to do in-game, why that?
I don't really need to take a picture of the Grand Skyline and be like, chilling in the Grand. Like, what? Why?
My guess is either it was very easy or there were enough people asking for it.
Yeah, there must have been some. Maybe they see it as a marketing tool. Maybe they see it as a... I don't know.
I can kind of see that. That is one giant step. It's like, oh, look, I'm on my Twitter, and oh, look at this guy having so much fun in World of Warcraft, posting all of it.
How different is that than going onto YouTube and watching someone post a video of what they're doing?
But that's your choice.
This is your choice,
too. To click on that video. Search for that video.
So don't follow people that
not to follow. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, still, if it's... Even if that person isn't directly, you know, a... God. World of Warcraft tweeter. Sounds weird. and you still have them as, you know, a friend, and you still see them, you know, on a certain basis, then it still comes up. You know, I can still see it as somewhat of a marketing tool. But still,
sure. I would say if you got a problem with seeing that on your Twitter, then question the people that you follow. Question why it's in the game. Of all the things to put in the game, why that? But
I can guarantee you
it's the same. You seeing someone's screenshot on Twitter is the same thing as a video posted on YouTube. You look at your subscription feed and there's a lot of videos, people that I subscribe to. Doesn't necessarily mean I watch every video they do. Am I going to get annoyed because, oh no, they posted that series, I don't care about that? No, I just scroll past it. But if it's that bothersome to somebody, then unfollow that person. I don't know. I don't see it as rocket science.
And granted, I could see them getting a couple of people to try the game out, but it's not. I mean, it's a huge.
I think it's going to be more geared if it is a marketing tool to getting people back into the game that played it before, left for whatever reason, and now they're seeing it again, and maybe it sparks that interest.
But I agree with you. I don't even know why they need to put it in the game. It's.
I mean, you can take screenshots with your keyboard. You don't need a tool in game to do it.
Yep. It's resources, so. I believe, resources taken, being used for something that's not really all that's necessary and could have been put to better use.
My guess is it was easy.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, if it's not something they did to optimize the game, then it must have been something that they could easily squeeze in without any other performance issues.
Yep.
All right. That's Twitter.
Marvelous.
Marvel? Well, did you say Marvel?
Marvel? I said... No. Nice try, though. Avengers? Why, you going to Marvel? Story? You want to roll? Marvel? Huh?
What? My.
Okay. Completely threw me off there. That Perfect. Is a Finding Nemo reference. Thank you.
It was, yes. Wish I could speak well. Wow.
Speak seagull.
Speak whale.
Oh, whale.
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 Yeah. Whale?
Whale.
Who are you?
Well played, sir. Well played.
That was brilliant. Actually pretty good, but whatever.
Anywho, so back to the news.
Sonic screwdriver.
News story coming out this week from some friends in Russia.
Mother Russia.
Kaspersky Labs is a security research firm based in Russia. I want to say Moscow, but I don't know for sure. Anyway, they have a extremely good track record for identifying and helping mitigate security risks. So they've been tracking some interesting malware, bad software that has been floating around on the internet. They have been tracking historically for quite a while now. And they have identified a group of malware that all belongs to the same organization that they have termed the Equation Group. Being as how this group of security bad guys tend to like encryption and complex formulas and anything mathematical that they can do to help get around. So this is a little bit of an in-depth topic. The link will be in the show notes for you to read the report directly. But essentially, Equation Group has been at the forefront of malware exploitation. They have been able to use what are known in the industry as zero-day exploits. That is, security weaknesses that aren't known about yet. They discover them and use them before Microsoft or Apple has a chance to patch their OSs. And based on some striking similarities between this and the now leaked documents, compliments of our friend Edward Snowden, it would appear that this Equation Group is none other than a group within the NSA.
Fantastic.
Now, this is where things get a little scary, as if it wasn't already.
Clearly.
So, from the history that Kaspersky's group has been able to piece together, it appears that the Equation Group has been active for almost two decades.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it when malware, like, first... maybe not.
It was first dubbed not that long ago, but...
But it has existed for a while, except in the olden days, you actually had to practice unsafe file sharing. I mean, I had to take a floppy disk that had a virus on it that I didn't know about, obviously, from my computer to your computer. I mean, this was pre-internet.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets even scarier. There are some known exploits that I don't think we have covered before, but they've been known for a little while, that involve the firmware in your hard drive.
Okay. Now,
so let me back up a little bit more. Typically, when you get a virus, they're notoriously difficult to get rid of. The standard advice is, yep, back up the core files that you need, but we're going to wipe your computer and start again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just keep your data.
Yes.
So the problem with malware that works on the firmware level, your hard drive, depending on what you have, is, you know, a spinning platter of magnetic biased media that records magnetic fluxes. Now, all of this has to be controlled by a computer somehow. So on your hard drive, there is a little chip that knows how to position the read-write heads and read the magnetic signals and convert that back into your favorite picture of Aunt Maud. Now, some of the Equation Group's malware is able to get into that drive-level software lower than the OS. and rewrite it to put their virus in there.
That's scary as hell.
So the implication from this is you can reformat as many times as you want. It'll still be there.
Because it's on the drive itself.
Because it's on the drive itself. And some, I mean, I have to kind of look at this from two different sides. There's the citizen, person, individual in me going, oh my goodness, this is absolutely horrific. And then there's the technologist in me going, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
These guys are amazing. These guys can do all this.
They really are. From an intellectual IT tech level, these guys are freaking amazing. Some of these tools, including the hard drive firmware tool, is actually modular. They can make it do different things depending on what they need. Because the OS and your computer itself requires the drive. It relies on the drive reporting its own information. They can lie. So, you know, when you buy a 1 terabyte drive and you plug it in, does it say 1 terabyte?
No.
It's usually like 920 or whatever. And, you know, we've come to accept that because there's a difference between how you calculate it this way and that way. And when you format it, it takes up some space, blah, blah, blah. We've just come to accept that. Well, what they're able to do is because they have raw firmware level control, they can make the drive tell you it's smaller than it is and save part of it for their use. Sure. And they can do keystroke logging. Maybe you've got a computer that doesn't, it's not permanently on the internet. That's fine. They can reserve a part of your hard drive and log all your keystrokes and whatever else they want to and store it to this little hidden part that you have no way of knowing about. And if you ask the drive, it will lie to you about. But when you connect to the internet, they can just, you know, exfiltrate all that data that you will never know was gone.
I'm scared.
You should be. This is scary. They have even developed ways, again, they're very patient. They play long-term games. Recently, we covered an issue with USB firmware. You know, your USB drive can get infected at the firmware level, same kind of thing. They have developed a way to infect what are known as air-gapped machines. Really critical systems don't get connected to a network. They don't get connected to the internet. It's called an air gap. They are not plugged into anything. They're physically separated.
Yep.
So our friends at the NSA have found a way to infect portable media, you know, USB keys. At some point or another, you're going to have to transfer a file to or from this air-gapped machine.
Most likely.
So, you know, they have a way to take their time, and they will infect a USB key and wait for you to go over to the air-gapped machine and plug it in and infect that, and then wait for, you know, they'll gather whatever information they need and wait patiently for you to plug a different USB key in and infect that and transfer the data back.
I'm just shaking my head and just awestruck by this.
You know, again, I'm torn on this. On the one hand, this is exactly what we want them to do. This is what we pay them to do. This is what they should be doing on a limited scale. If they're using this, you know, with appropriate authority on known ill operatives, that's their job.
Correct.
Yep. But we've already seen that they have no regard for legislation or regulation. They will do what they want. They will dragnet the entire internet if it's what they want to do. That's the part that scares me.
Exactly.
The fact that they have this capability with no regard for oversight. The fact that they will plain face lie to Congress about what they're doing. And our only reassurance is they told the least lie that they could.
Yeah.
Now,
we're not being as bad as we could be. Oh, okay, I feel better about that then.
Yeah, no. Yeah. How do we know that exactly? I'm not so sure.
Now, you said this could be a group within the NSA.
Correct.
Now, they obviously could be, known probably now. And NSA could be doing something very doubtful. Or, they've, found this group of people into the NSA and are doing it, willingly and on their own.
No, this sounds more like if this is really people from within the NSA, that they were probably recruited by the NSA to do exactly what they're doing for the NSA.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is the second one was trying to produce.
They operate more than 100 command and control servers across 300 domains in countries including the US, UK, Italy, Germany, Netherlands, Panama, Costa Rica, Malaysia, Colombia, Czech Republic.
How far does the rabbit hole go?
As deep as they need it to.
Way far. Way far. Since 2001, they've been busy infecting thousands or perhaps tens of thousands. I'm reading directly from the report now. Perhaps tens of thousands of victims in more than 30 countries, including from the following sectors: government, telecommunications, aerospace, energy, nuclear research, oil and gas, military, nanotechnology, Islamic activists and scholars, mass media, transportation, and financial institutions. And the big one, companies developing encryption technologies. Anybody that is doing anything that will even attempt to keep them out, they know about ahead of time.
Brilliant.
It's scary.
One of those ones that actually really stuck out in my mind was nano technology.
Nanotech. That's
yes.
Cool. What is the
until the virus takes control of them?
Skynet.
Skynet's becoming self-aware.
Well, it's not even that, Nanites, then what was the whole goal with micro machines was that they could be able to cure diseases from inside out.
Yep.
Or cause them.
Or reprogram your brain. I know it's kind of conspiracy theorist there, but let's be honest.
Okay, but we're getting to the point where the conspiracy theories don't sound so far out there.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's when...
This is getting nuts.
The brain is controlled by electrical impulses. It's a living computer. If they have infected nanomachines that are then released into, a person, and are then able to get those nanomachines into the brain, they can pretty much rewire where those signals go.
Boom. Science fiction applied here, it's really not as far-fetched as it seems.
Well, and I was just going to say, a couple years ago we would have laughed and, yeah, sure, Wade, whatever. That's not crazy.
I'm 26 and that just came into my head. What do we have guys who are doing this for?
Yeah, there's people who are legitimately researching that very topic right now on government grants and some government think tank.
It's scary.
Yeah.
We live in some very scary times, guys.
Oh, God.
Is it wrong for me to want to unplug my computer right now and stop doing this?
Doesn't it feel dirty?
A little bit.
Yeah. You have no way of knowing. And the way the firmware is created in the hard drive, just as a parting thought, there is a command designed into the interface to be able to write the firmware, okay? And that's designed from the manufacturer. If they release a firmware update, they want to be able to get it to you. Maybe make the drive perform a little better.
Or
there is no way to read the firmware out because they want to protect their code. They don't want anybody being able to read what they have in there. Now superimpose the two.
Yep.
They can write their spyware code in and you have zero way of ever telling if it's
exactly
there. for all you know, every hard drive and every computer in your house right now has this software. We just don't
know. For all intents and purposes, it's really not that hard.
Nope.
All it takes is a few contracts with the manufacturers and done.
Not even that. It's,
yeah.
You're downloading a piece of free software, a game, you know, anything. You're even downloading antivirus, anti-malware protection that's putting the malware onto your...
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Yep, it's not so far-fetched anymore.
I'm a firm believer that viruses are created by antivirus companies so that you have to buy the next version of their antivirus to protect you from the virus they just wrote that counters the last version of antivirus software you just bought from them.
Talk about conspiracy
theories. Talk about capitalism. They create the own need, their own need for their own product.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
That's right.
If it gives you any warm fuzzies at all, Western Digital has come out and said that they were completely unaware of this program.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Uh-huh. And what hard drive did I buy for our server? Uh-huh.
Western Digital.
Whatever.
I told you to buy Seagate.
No, you didn't. Liar. They haven't come out and said anything. Does that make them more innocent or more guilty?
The plot thickens.
That's absolutely. That's, you know, that's the thing now. We've seriously gotten to a point where we are in a always look over your shoulder, never sure who's doing what, trust no one. That's sad.
And yet it's the world we live in.
Yep, I mean,
the world we've created for ourselves.
You can see a guy laying on the street, and no one will help him because they're too afraid he's going to jump up with a gun and say, give me your wallet.
Or you want to help him, and you feel that anything that you do won't really be help.
Or
case in point, here's a depressing thought. You know a lot of those Toys for Tot drives around Christmas?
Oh, God, I've heard about this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There have stories have come out that said that once you donate your toys and they're delivered to families that are otherwise in need, the parents take those toys that are new, still in their original packaging, return them and buy what they want. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's money so they can go buy drugs off the street. You don't know. But there have been stories that came out and said where they got the money for this was returning charity items.
Yep.
We have to be careful, though, that we don't become so jaded that we stop
helping. It's too late. I'm sorry, but it's too late for that particular point.
I've seen, quote-unquote, homeless veterans on the corner of the street with crutches who just ran down the entire block with the crutches under their arm so they could take up their post and beg for money. And I'm supposed to be charitable. I've seen reports where people drive their Land Rovers to a corner, around the corner, park, get out, stand on that corner, and beg for money and make six-figure incomes a year off of people's charity. And I'm supposed to be charitable.
Absolutely. There are people like that. I don't deny it. But there are some real people in need that just need a break to get back on
their feet. I understand that, but how do you tell the two apart?
Yeah, it's being poisoned by the ones who aren't
the few
really
ruin
in
it
need.
For the many.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you tell? And even like I said, this Toys for Tots thing, you could trust the organization. The organization may be doing it right. They're not taking anything for themselves. It's all charity. It's all passed on. But when it gets to the end game, how do you know that your charity got to the right place, so to speak?
The only real way I can see that, and that actually doesn't even solve it, because I was thinking you could put something in the barcode or underneath the barcode, whatever. But the problem is someone, the person could still sell it to another person, not corporation-wise, or, you know, returning the gift, and still go out and buy whatever the heck they want.
Yep.
You know, it's impossible to solve.
It is. Topic for another day, maybe. In this article, I'm actually surprised Brad did not come up with this one, because it pairs two of his favorite things. Apple, the company, not the fruit. And electric cars. Yes.
Oh, I had this one. No, I had this one, but you had it first in the rundown, sure. So go for it.
So Apple reportedly has a secret lab creating an Apple-branded car. The iCar? Can we dub the iCar? No? Okay.
can we trademark it
now? We need to do it now. So let's be quick here, because we are at our hour mark, which I did not see until this very second.
I was wondering what you were doing.
So,
I was like,
he had to have the last word.
Usually we get two in a piece, and I didn't get there. Brad took forever. So the car is rumored to be looking like a minivan. It will take years to finish this project, and it's not even certain if this will ever be a production item or just something they say they can do. Evidence, though, to substantiate this is that a head of Mercedes-Benz Silicon Valley R&D unit has since defected to Apple, and this according to his LinkedIn page, and his new title is Head of Mac Systems Engineering. Not to mention that the car industry has piqued other interests, such as Google and their autonomous car, plus Uber, which is also out of Silicon Valley, from my understanding, as well as our favorite Tesla. So, it's something in progress. It's nothing confirmed from a production standpoint. Apple hasn't commented on it, but all signs point to a secret Apple and automotive function.
Well, and Apple's not going to comment on it. Yeah, they never
until do. Until the iCar is sitting on the street with a big Apple logo on it.
Oops, did we leave
exactly,
that?
Exactly, and a $3 million price
tag. Oh, did I leave that in front of the bar again?
Sorry. Oops. Should have put a case on it. So, a couple points. First of all, I believe it was a year ago, Elon Musk, our friend from Tesla, actually went and had a decent length meeting with Apple, which kind of plays into this even more. Yep. But, you know, Apple being what they are and secretive and all of that, I would say, does this car exist? Absolutely. I think the car exists. I think the much-rumored Apple TV, you know, the actual TV panel, exists. I think a giant iPad exists. I think a tiny iPhone exists. Apple is notorious or renowned, depending on how you want to look at it, for their striving for perfection in materials. They probably, no, I know they have a lot of stuff in the lab that we will never see.
Every successful product company does.
I would kind of like a wall-sized iPad. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, they probably have one. I'm almost sure they do.
Minority Report kind of thing going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually a movie, which I hated the movie itself, but it's called Gamer. And it's with Gerard Butler, and this kid's room is floor-to-ceiling, top-to-bottom display with gesture and voice control. The entire room. It's wicked and awesome. But the movie sucks. Don't go see it.
Don't go look.
Okay. But my point is, they probably have it. And this whole car rumor, I'm not surprised. Are they building a car? Probably. Will we ever see it? Now, there's the big question.
It's important, though. It was interesting because this article came from the Wall Street Journal originally. And the article says an Apple-branded car, not an Apple-built car. It's an electric car, so it's fair to say that it could very well be on either a Tesla platform or a Tesla technology versus motors and batteries, etc. But everything else could be very Mac Store Apple. From a looks, from a feel, or from a technology internal standpoint, all that. So that's another factor, you know, too.
Being a self-admitted fanboy, I'm not sure that I would mind an Apple-branded Tesla.
Of course you wouldn't. I could paint Apple on the side of your house and you'd love it.
You would do that for me?
See? Yeah. Fly me back out there. I'll take care of it.
With the stencil.
Thanks, man.
The old stencil.
spray paint.
Gravel can.
On that note, I think that's a good place to leave
the
it.
Apple door.
Get the it Apple House. Thanks for playing. We'll catch you next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.